The Spirit and the Church cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the waiting is the hardest part. You've thought that to yourself. Maybe you've even said it under your breath. Or maybe you said it to the person sitting next to you. And where was it that you were when you said it? The waiting room? Outside a surgical suite or an intensive care unit? Or maybe it was in the waiting room of the dentist's office? Or maybe it was waiting with your parents outside the principal's office? Waiting most definitely can be the hardest part. Maybe you've used that axiom to describe how you were feeling when you were waiting that first child or grandchild, or looking forward to that long-desired day of retirement. Waiting can be a challenge. Maybe you've been on the internet and placed an order for something you really wanted and just can't wait to get, but now you've got to sit tight and wait for the day of delivery. Or maybe you're just hungry, and supper is the pizza that you've ordered and you know it's on the way. But even that wait can challenge you and test you in different ways, can it? But there's one wait common to so many people that it's actually inspired songs. It's not just the children at this time of the year that struggle with waiting because Christmas just can't come soon enough. It's not always about the receiving of gifts, is it? Some of us anxiously wait for that moment because we've already, maybe even long ago, made that special purchase of just the right gift that we've been so eager to give. We can't wait for that moment when the paper's torn off and we get a chance to see the expression on the face and see if we really hit the home run that we thought we did with that purchase so long ago. Simply and plainly said, most of us are just not all that good at waiting. And that's natural. It comes to us from Adam and Eve themselves. They had a problem waiting. The scriptures tell us that it was not all that long after the fall into sin and they began having children that they had the expectation that it would be one of their direct descendants, one of their own children, that would be the promised one whose advent had been predicted in the verses we had last week from Genesis chapter 3. They were wrong, and the longest and most challenging wait of history had begun. They, along with all of the Old Testament people of God who believed in His promises, would take long, hard looks at everything that God had told them. Throughout the Old Testament era of history, as the prophets would give little bits and details here and there of the identity and the details of His work, I guarantee you that the Old Testament believers also scoured those prophecies and promises to see if there was anything they could figure out about when it would finally come. And they struggled so. In so many ways that you and I also struggle. They struggled with the challenges of politics and power. They struggled with the challenges of sin and guilt. There were so many times the Old Testament people of God cried out to Him, "Why not now, Lord? Why wouldn't this be the best moment for You to come and fulfill all of Your promises? Come with Your power and Your glory and Your salvation and get us out of this mess that we're in." So many of those scriptures echo a sentiment not all that different than the refrains of Advent of our own day. The Spirit and the Church cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come soon. Come with Your deliverance." And this evening, we not only sang it in the psalm, but here again for a moment, we have such an expression of waiting in the crosshairs. From Psalm 14, "Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Clearly, they knew the right place to look. For in so much of his Old Testament scriptures, God spoke of that Zion, the nickname for their most treasured city, Jerusalem, as the place at which all of the big elements and activities of his saving plan would be carried out. So it was especially trying and challenging for them in those moments when Jerusalem was under siege or Jerusalem was abandoned and they were off in exile. When they were looking for God's deliverance, they understood so many of the promises and details of what God had spoken to them. And they were absolutely convinced, as believers always are, that God has all the answers and that God has the power to do anything that he chooses. So anything that they were experiencing in that moment was not necessarily initiated by God, as so much of it was the consequence of their own sins and rebellion, or the appetites for conquest of the nations around them. They knew that God could control all of that if he chose, so whatever they were experiencing in the moment was God's will for them. And they longed for that will to play out that moment, right then, of the deliverance he had promised so completely. Unfortunately, they so very often tied issues of military and politics and social issues to the promises of God instead of just keeping them simple and plain as he had made them in the garden as we listened to them last week. When he spoke of his advent, his coming one day in the person of a descendant of Adam and Eve, it was all about reversing the curse of sin and redeeming God's people as a perfect, righteous, holy people to live with him forever in heaven. It wasn't really about so much the here and now. And so they struggled. They struggled mightily with the waiting as they would look at the issues of their day, and it would cause them so much wonder and worry as they tried to sort it all out and figure it all out. And that only made the waiting harder. You and I, through our own life experiences, can parcel out the many ways our lives are burdened and challenged in similar ways to theirs. The political and public challenges that our world places in front of us as we desire to live God's will and proclaim his gospel to the world around us are not all that different than what they experienced in the days of the psalmist. Aging and illness and the burden of the daily grind, as we call it, of putting food on the table and making sure there's a roof over the head with the labor of our day-to-day is not a new problem that vexes humanity in our day that the generations before us didn't know. And the tattered relationships and the challenged finances of a broken world that is always lurking around the next corner to disappoint us and to cause us pain, those are realities that have existed from the very day Adam and Eve listened to the devil and challenged God's love for them. You and I recognize all too well the cry of the psalmist as our own cry. In this moment and in so many moments, come, Lord Jesus, come now, rescue us with your salvation, and we will praise you, we will worship you, we will acknowledge you, as we do every day of our lives now, but perfectly and completely through Advent. God promised victory over sin and death and Satan by a complete reversal of all that ails us. We know he has not pointed us to any human answer to the dilemma that only He can repair through His coming in power and humility at the same time, wrapping Himself in humanity and offering Himself to all of the challenges and temptations that we face every day. He wants us to know that He has the answers for us. But the most perfect and blessed of all those answers, the reality of all the promises regarding eternal life, freedom from sin and temptation, no pain, no hot, no cold, no thirst, no hunger, the embrace of our God that wipes every memory and every tear from our eyes, of all that has vexed us in our brokenness here, all of that must wait. Yes, many years waiting for Christmas becomes the hard part, because we make such long lists and have such high expectations of all the things that have to be done and all the things that have to be experienced in the course of 1 month of time. But I'm old enough to know that the much harder waiting in life is the waiting for deliverance from all the things that make us long for heaven and eternity and the perfection we will know there through Christ. It is in His Word, in His liturgy, and in His sacrament that our God gives us every reason to believe Him, that He has the answers, that He does love us, that He has completed our salvation in His Son's death and resurrection, and He will come again, as promised, to fulfill all of our wildest dreams. And He wants you to know right now, as you and I try to simplify our Advent, that this wait is absolutely worth it. Amen. Please stand. Oh, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.